Welcome to the end of the weekend.
Please don't let today be Monday. Please don't let today be Monday. Please, 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 please don't let today be Monday.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
And then what followed was bad, even by Monday standards.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. During the break, I was just telling Charlie nice things. Charlie does a really good job. But the wrongest he's ever been was about that liner coming back from that break. Whenever I made that, he was like, I don't know, I don't love that one. That's my least favorite of these like ones that you've made so far. I was like, no, I love it. It's like cartoon Garfield talking about Monday and the weekend, and then John Arbuckle chiming in. Man, that's great. And then now every time it makes a smile.
Yeah, the John Arbuckle part is the best part.
It really is. It's such a perfect kicker.
Yeah, it's good.
What followed was bad, even by Monday standards.
It's grown on me.
Yeah, I love it so much. This next hour is for non-KU fans and for KU fans who just need a damn break now. Because we just did 2 hours of KU. We did it with Scott Chasen last hour. Man, we have covered every angle of KU's loss last night. And now I want to offer other topics to just give you an hour of sports in some other realm. Because, quite frankly, Lawrence, I'm afraid for you. I want to give you another direction to take your angst or your sports fandom or anything else. I just want to give you somewhere else to go. And eventually you're going to hate it again, but I'm going to talk about the Chiefs. I want to talk normal Chiefs stuff for a second. Because I think nationally there's one really overstated problem with the Chiefs, a problem that looks like a problem but isn't that big of a problem. Mel Kiper, in his third mock draft, had the Chiefs taking East Carolina wide receiver Zay Jones. And this is what Mel Kiper wrote about this pick. And I think this is really interesting because I don't find this to be true. Jeremy Macklin had a down season in 2016, and the Chiefs' top pass catchers were tight end Travis Kelce and rookie fifth-round pick Tyreek Hill, who's not a true number one wideout. Jones has moved up my board considerably thanks to his performance at the Senior Bowl and Combine, where he ran a 4.4540 and a 36.5-inch vertical. At 6'2", 200 pounds, he put up huge numbers for the Pirates last season with 158 catches for 1,746 yards and 8 touchdowns. But a couple things jump out from that analysis. And I'm curious, you listening right now, if anything in there made you pause. So if anything did, sort of just put a pin in that and see if this stands out to you also. That sideswipe on Tyreek Hill in the middle there, to me, is kind of frustrating and, I think, tremendously ignorant. Why can't Tyreek Hill be a true number one wideout? Honestly, if you're in your car right now, listening on the app, whatever you're doing, just hopefully have headphones in, shout to whoever's around you a reason that Tyreek Hill cannot be a true number one wideout. Is he too small? We know he's fast enough, but he's not big enough. He would be really unconventional in the NFL. The NFL doesn't employ this kind of receiver as a number one receiver. His route running seems to be pretty good. Let me give you some numbers on Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is listed at 5'10", 185 pounds. Okay, a little small-ish by first glance. 5'10", 185. DeSean Jackson is 5'10", 175. Tyreek Hill at his pro day ran a 4.2940. DeSean Jackson back at his, which was, 20 years ago, ran a 4.35. Tyreek Hill is heavier than DeSean Jackson, faster than DeSean Jackson, and the same height. Why can't Tyreek Hill be DeSean Jackson? I think there is a one-word answer to that. The answer is usage. If Andy Reid doesn't want to use Tyreek Hill like DeSean Jackson, he'll never be DeSean Jackson. But, in case you forgot about this, Andy Reid had DeSean Jackson. He had actual DeSean Jackson. And it's where DeSean Jackson became a star. He became a star in Andy Reid's system. Now, I would be surprised if Andy Reid, in a moment of honesty, said, you know what, actually, we took Tyreek Hill, and I didn't think for a second about his physical comparisons to DeSean Jackson. I was thinking of him purely as a gadget guy. I'd be surprised by that. I think Andy Reid, at some point in some meeting with John Dorsey, whenever they talk, because, man, in case you forgot, Tyreek Hill came with a lot of baggage. A lot of well-deserved baggage. I don't think they brought in that baggage to be a kick returner. I don't even think they brought in that baggage to be a gadget guy. I think they're taking a calculated risk because they knew that he had crazy playmaker potential. And we saw it in his rookie season. It's hard to get crazy playmaker stuff out of a fifth-round pick as a rookie. Usually, if you're a fifth-round pick, if you're going to ever be a playmaker, it's going to come after a few years of you working it out and rising up the roster. Tyreek Hill did it immediately. The only thing holding Tyreek Hill back last season was the fact that he wasn't in that many plays yet. Like, Reid said they kept expanding his route tree or the number of plays that he was brought into, his packages. Then they started putting him in plays that weren't built for him, which is just built for the offense, which is where Tyreek Hill fits. And Andy Reid's already said this year is going to be, this offseason, they're going to be working on ways to get Tyreek Hill into the game more, as they should be. He's one of the most dynamic players, not on the team, in football. And people noticed on a Chiefs team that, by the eyeball test, was average, an offense that really struggled. At best, an average offense. People looked at Tyreek Hill in that average offense and went, man, that guy is dynamic. You got a playmaker in Travis Kelce. Jeremy Maclin had a very bad season, but he got injured, and I don't know if he ever got right from that injury. I do have my concerns about Jeremy Maclin. But I think at this point, he's actually, like, the hate has gone too far on Jeremy Maclin. I think he's now at the point of being somehow really underrated, especially because you look at his, like, $11 million per year contract, and you go, oh, God, that doesn't look so great right now. But if Jeremy Maclin comes back healthy, I think a bunch of people are going to start saying, well, they're going to start relegating Jeremy Maclin down the roster, and I think it's a little bit too soon to bury him. I think it's entirely too soon to bury him, frankly. But the two best weapons on this team are absolutely Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. That's not questionable. There's no argument to be made there otherwise. But why not take your most dynamic playmaker and make him your number one receiver? His size does not disqualify him. DeSean Jackson did it. Does his experience maybe disqualify him? Work on it this offseason. You're in the pros now, man. You can go hang out with Alex Smith or a quarterback who can actually throw the ball 40 yards if you want to practice your deep routes. Start working on that. Get with your wide receivers coach. Or just work out with whoever it is that you're working with in the offseason. Say, wait a second, I want to develop these skills down the field. And I say develop, not create, because we saw Tyreek Hill running downfield last year. Some of the best plays of the season were, and some of the best Alex Smith plays of the season was whenever Tyreek Hill would just run and he would just be faster than the corner. Alex Smith would heave it, and then usually Tyreek Hill would slow down, stop, turn around, then jump back, get the ball, and actually complete the catch, even though he was wrapping up the corner as he did it.
Specifically, in the Raiders game,
yes,
at Arrowhead on Thursday night, Alex Smith hit him perfectly in stride on a post route.
Yes,
and
beautiful.
It looked beautiful.
Oh, that, I mean, and that was also, that was an example of two things. Really, I mean, actually, was an example of four things. Ready for this? The perfectly called route, because he split, I think it was a safety in a corner, two safeties, whatever. He split two defenders. A perfectly called route, be it by Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, Brad Childress, or Alex Smith. Because at this point, a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Although Matt Nagy is now the official offensive coordinator. Perfectly called route. Perfectly run route. Perfectly thrown ball. Perfectly catched pass. That play, can you imagine if the offense looked like that more often last year? If they would have had a play like that three times a game, which I think they were capable of, but I don't think Tyreek Hill was running that many of those plays, running that many of those routes. And he fits the mold, or you make the mold fit him. We've seen him do it already. I think at this point, it's all about the usage. And I think that Chiefs fans and maybe even John Dorsey and Andy Reid have Tyreek Hill as the third evolution of the Dexter McCluster Pokemon. Right? You get Dexter McCluster, you evolve him into D'Anthony Thomas, and you evolve him into Tyreek Hill. I don't think that's fair to Tyreek Hill. I think it started off that way. I see that. I see why you do that. But Tyreek Hill, if you're going to do that, if you're going to do that thing, that evolution, then the evolution of Tyreek Hill should be DeSean Jackson. Remember some of the first times you remember seeing DeSean Jackson? He was back there returning kicks. Dynamically. And he ended up being a number one receiver. Catching deep passes. He can go across the middle of the field. He's faster than people. He's faster than the defenders. He can return kicks and punts. He makes people miss. He can run deep routes. He's got great hands. He gets open. Now, who am I talking about? DeSean Jackson or Tyreek Hill? Why not both? I just think it's tremendously silly to overlook Tyreek Hill as not a traditional number one receiver. Or not a true number one receiver. Maybe he's not a traditional number one receiver. No, he doesn't look like Calvin Johnson. But he looks a lot like DeSean Jackson. And we've seen him do that. This is not all speculative. Sometimes, especially if we're talking football in March, sometimes we fall in love with the speculation of, well, what if Chris Conley becomes Calvin Johnson because he's got a big body? Like, well, okay, why would you think that's going to happen? We haven't seen that, really. We've seen maybe Chris Conley can develop into a number, like a solid number three receiver or something. Why would you expect anything more? We've seen the teaser trailer on Tyreek Hill. It's bigger than Gadget Guy.
When you first hear it, you're like, no, you're insane. There's no way he can be a number one wide receiver. But then when you compare him to DeSean Jackson, yeah, it's actually accurate, especially with this offense.
Yes.
And
Andy Reid.
And Andy Reid.
He's done this before.
Mm-hmm. And we both know that Jeremy Maclin will be the number one wide receiver with the Chiefs until he's done. But when we move on from Maclin, will Tyreek Hill become the number one receiver and we surround him with a number two that's similar, maybe a little bit taller, kind of balance it out a little bit?
Here's the thing.
Because you have Travis Kelce, who's tall and arguably one of the best tight ends or the best tight end in the league. I mean,
this is whenever
it makes sense.
You know the taste in your mouth you get when you think you're going to throw up? And you have like that kind of like that like tinny taste in your mouth, that kind of like acidic grossness. That comes onto my taste buds whenever I see the Chiefs taking a receiver in the first round at pick 27 or whatever, a late first round wide receiver, and I just see John Baldwin run across my vision. I get that gross taste in my mouth because I don't need Jeremy Maclin to be demoted for Tyreek Hill to do this. Jeremy Maclin can still be Jeremy Maclin. Tyreek Hill can be the number two guy. In reality, they might both be getting less targets than Travis Kelce is. I'm not arguing for anyone to be. And also, I think Chris Conley is a perfectly fine fourth option. especially if it's on the playoffs with him. If you want a guy to, in late in the season, Chris Conley started to actually show some development. It took longer than I thought it would, but I think he's fine. I don't think what this offense needs is a renaissance at receiver. I don't care who gets called what this season, but I am incensed by the idea that the Chiefs need to have another option for whenever Tyreek Hill is inevitably not good enough. Be it to take over for Jeremy Maclin, like you said, Charlie, or be it good enough to be the guy opposite Jeremy Maclin. Or, again, if you want to have an unconventional offense, that's fine with me. Put Jeremy Maclin out wide. You want to have Tyreek Hill be your slot guy? That's fine. DeSean Jackson spent plenty of time in the slot. You want Tyreek Hill to be in the slot? That's fine, but he'd better be getting the first, second, or third most targets. I don't care that he's a slot receiver. He better be getting number one, number two receiver targets, not Albert Wilson targets, because he's in Albert Wilson's position.
Like Jarvis Landry targets.
Yeah, sure, exactly. That's a great comparison. I'll look up him in a second. I don't know how that physical comparison works, but yes, that kind of usage. Jarvis Landry usage out of the slot. Throw Chris Conley on the other side. That's fine by me. He demands to be covered, be it by one man or a man and a half. And then you've still got human matchup nightmare Travis Kelce. I don't see a problem in that offense. I certainly don't see a need to forego Patrick Mahomes for the sake of your actual number two receiver because Tyreek Hill can't be that guy. I think that's silly.
Jarvis Landry is 6'2" 205. And let's go to Tyreek Hill. He's 5'10", 185. So not
2 inches, 20 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And 2 inches for a wide receiver, maybe it seems like a lot to you. Tyreek Hill has shown that he can be used in a very versatile. And he is ready for this. Get mad. Ready? He's DeSean Jackson, but faster. I think that guy should be getting a bunch of targets. Let's go to the phones really quick here. Patrick, you're on Sports Sunday. What's up, man?
Okay. Boy, let's see where I'm going to start here. Well, first of all, baseball. I think, I don't know if we're going to make the playoffs. I believe our record's going to be 90-72. I don't know if that's good enough to get your playoff. I'll have to wait and see. And for Sporting KC here, I hope we start scoring some points. And now for the Chiefs, everybody's talking quarterback. Well, yeah, we're going to need a backup quarterback. Have Kaepernick been signed by anybody?
Patrick, you are my hero, man. We got to go to a break here, but coming back on in the next segment, I'm going to be talking about Colin Kaepernick because I think that's a really good question. He's not been signed by anyone. I can tell you that right now.
Wait, let me make one more comment. You can talk about that after that. We also need to draft a good running back. Power back, I mean. How many times last year we needed 3 yards for a touchdown or 2 yards for a first down, and we couldn't get it? So that's what I want. You can comment on those things. I'll be listening to the rest of the show.
Awesome. Patrick, I appreciate it. First of all, on the power back thing, before we get to the quarterback question next segment, on the power back thing, it was a plague last year. Last year was a disaster in that regard. I think a lot of it can be attributed to the offensive line's poor play in short yarder situations, but the Chiefs have brought back all of their offensive linemen, so that's not going to change. I would love to see the Chiefs bring in a guy who can actually convert those short yardage things. We all thought it would be Spencer Ware. Spencer Ware became more valuable out of the backfield as a pass catcher than we thought and less valuable as a power back. I definitely think we're going to see the Chiefs bring in somebody for those short yardage situations. Let's go to the phones again. JT, you're on Sports Sunday. What's up?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to weigh in. You know, Missouri fans are celebrating their Schadenfreude right now.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I wanted to say that, look, from KU's perspective, I think that this thing is I think you're getting to the point where Self's message has run its course, okay? If you listen to him after the game, in my humble opinion, he sounded more detached and more removed and more clinical than I've remember him hearing in something that should have been such a heartbreaking loss. I don't know your thoughts on that. You've probably listened to more of his press conferences than I have. But it just struck me that he sounded just very matter-of-fact at the point that something should have been a real kick in the gut.
I kind of like that. I think that's kind of interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. He always kind of has that, like, oh yeah, well, he always kind of has that tone, I feel like. But I think last night had a little bit extra of that. I think you might be onto something.
Yeah. So here's my next crazy theory. Is he getting ready to bolt? Is he headed for the NBA?
Oh man, Oklahoma State was such a good idea for 10 minutes. They ended up hiring someone no one's ever heard of. I don't know where he would go, but also Tyler Self's graduating, and that's been a conversation people have been having for years. You know, as well, what it would if Bill's not leaving while his son's still here. Well, his son's graduating.
Well, yeah, exactly. So all the stars are aligning from that perspective. You know. The thing is, I don't think he's going to leave KU in a horrible position if he can help it.
Right, I agree.
I think he would probably get a pretty damn good recruiting class on board and then wait till the NBA season leaves and then leave would be my take.
Well, and even already, KU's got a pretty good base put in. I'm going to indulge your conspiracy theory just at least a tiny bit and say I can't wait for Bruce Weber to coach KU in 2 years.
No,
it's going to be awesome.
I don't think that's what's going on, but seriously, who would they get?
I mean,
would be on the list if he leaves in the next 2 or 3 years?
I would think whoever they want. Greg Marshall doesn't seem too keen on leaving Wichita State because he's in charge of everything there. Like Wichita is about the Koch brothers and Greg Marshall. So I don't know. I don't know if he likes being Wichita royalty. But I'm sure that he would be the first call, and he would be an absolute blast at KU.
Yeah, he would be a great call. I get what you're saying, though, that it would be so difficult to – for him, it's a huge risk if he takes off from Wichita State.
It is.
Because he can stay there for the next 30 years, making what he's making,
yep,
and own everything and
yep,
do what he wants. Mark Few, I think, is kind of a model for what he could be.
Yeah.
But the guy I would look at, I would look at Holtman. I would look at Butler.
Yep.
Because I think he's the next up-and-coming stud coach.
Yes, I would agree with that, too.
Yeah. Anyway, that was just my thoughts after watching that and then reading the Mizzou message boards and watching the fans dance with glee. So, but hey, Kansas should not feel too bad. They've solidified their spot in the top 8 program, huh?
JT, thank you for the call.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. I'm glad somebody had a good night last night. Oh, God. I do enjoy being able to look at the state of all of the programs currently. We're like, KU was like in better shape by 4,000 miles, but they underachieve. And they are rightfully, KU is devastated, and Mizzou and K-State is kind of like snickering. It's kind of hilarious. The one thing I want to say about Bill Self's, maybe his message falling a little short, the one thing that I think pushes back on that some is that he's a college coach. It's not like most of these guys have been hearing his message for 4 years. Most of these guys in 4 years is the MAC, although like Landon Lucas, I guess. But Landon Lucas and Frank Mason seemed like the two guys last night who were actually comfortable. And as Scott said last hour, he extended that list to include Fee and Vic. But Josh Jackson and Devontae Graham were either uncomfortable or bad. I don't know if the message gets old to players who are buying in, maybe there's something that changes in the tournament, or again, maybe like Scott said, it's just less time to prepare. And Bill Self does so much for KU that whenever he has less time to implement what he wants to do, they're just worse. But I also love the conspiracy theory. Speaking of which, whenever we come back, why does the president hate a quarterback?
This is Sports Sunday.
When I talked about the Chiefs and Colin Kaepernick, you guys loved it.
With Joshua Briscoe.
A few selections from the Facebook comment thread of the podcast includes, I heard this live and I thought his argument supporting the idea was inarticulate. He just wants attention because no one knows who he is. More on that later. Joshua Briscoe's an idiot. We don't want nor need an un-American moron as our quarterback.
On Sports Radio 810.
He is a disgrace to the human race.
WHB.
Man, I love that. I love that so much. He's a disgrace to the human race. Oh, how dare you take a political stance. Welcome back to Sports Sunday. I'm Joshua Briscoe, Charlie Carlin running the board. Man, I thought the Colin Kaepernick story was very interesting whenever it happened. then it came up because I thought he was being undervalued. One of our first shows doing this like a month ago or something. The pushback was so loud that I had to respond to that. And then it died out. And I really thought, like, all right, we've talked to our Colin Kaepernick. He'll get signed by, like, the Bears or the Jets or something. I'll talk about it for, like, 2 minutes. But it's really going to be, like, a very small story. And I'm not going to make people keep eating Colin Kaepernick as a segment. I enjoy politics and sports colliding. So that might be a place where our sensibilities might clash a little bit. But what happened this last week really changed the dynamic again. This is a case where Kaepernick was brought up in some ways by the question about, well, why isn't he employed yet? Richard Sherman said that Kaepernick was unemployed not because of his football ability. Sherman said, you know, there was a year Matt Schaub had a pretty rough year and got signed the next year, so it has nothing to do with football. He talked about how there are 32 teams that need a starting quarterback in this league with 8 elite guys, then you have the rest of the league, maybe 8-9 elite quarterbacks. You have 2 or 3 with the potential to be elite, Sherman said. Then you have the rest of the team. So he could play and start on a ton of teams in this league. He would be a starter on probably 20 of the teams in this league. On Dan Le Batard's show last week, Keen Fahey of Pre-Snap Reads was on, and they were talking to him about Kaepernick as an actual quarterback. And I think this I talked about Fahey when I first brought up Kaepernick a couple of weeks ago. This guy has watched so much tape. He knows more. He's forgotten more about every team in football than I've ever known about anything in my entire life. Like, this guy is obsessively watching all of this. And he talked about Kaepernick as a quarterback with Le Batard, and this is where he lands with Kaepernick.
I think I would say he's in the 16 to 25 range at worst. And what happens then is it's all about your setup. It's all about what the coaching staff asks you to do. It's all about what your supporting cast asks you to do. I'm less concerned about ranking Kaepernick and more concerned about talking about his skill set, because his skill set is so far ahead of what else is out there. Like, Mike Glennon is a contract that everyone points to, and I actually like Mike Glennon more than other people do. I think he could be all right if he's set up properly. But, like, the idea that Colin Kaepernick doesn't deserve a contract like Mike Glennon is madness. And the year he's coming off is one where people said that he couldn't have, because he played in a complete... Like, the first thing you get with Kaepernick is, oh, he's a system player. You have to change your offense so much just to him. And there's a bigger conversation you can have there where we only say this about certain quarterbacks when it applies to everyone. But Kaepernick basically disproved that last year, because Jim Harbaugh and Chip Kelly don't run the same system. And he had very good, very impressive successes, very impressive years in both Harbaugh and in Kelly's system. The only problem last year was his wide receivers couldn't catch the ball, couldn't get open. His deep passing wasn't great last year, but he was good throwing the ball short, and he moved well in the pocket compared to previous seasons while making good decisions. So there's not really much more he could have done on the field to get himself another job. So to me at this point, it's very difficult to look at this and not think, like, maybe it's not being blackballed, but it's very difficult for me to think the off-field stuff isn't having a bigger impact than the on-field stuff.
So there's your defense for Colin Kaepernick as a quarterback. Also, his stats last year were good. We might have a little bit of his stats come in the conversation in a second. But if you need more convincing for him as a quarterback and where Kaepernick would fit in this ecosystem, the Giants just signed Geno Smith as a backup. The Jets just signed Josh McCown. These are guys whose ceilings we've probably seen already, and those ceilings have not been particularly high. Colin Kaepernick brought the 49ers to a really good place when Harbaugh was still there, and he performed as admirably as possible with Chip Kelly. So what's the deal? Well, of course, we all know that Colin Kaepernick became not just a name that football fans know last year because of his political stances, his protests. Well, this last week, Donald Trump had a rally in Pennsylvania, if I remember correctly. He was having like one of his like victory tour things, I think. It wasn't like an actual campaign stop because he's president already, obviously. But he was, whatever, talking to this giant crowd in Pennsylvania or something. And he brought up the quarterback for the 49ers. Listen to this.
And you know, your San Francisco quarterback, I'm sure nobody ever heard of him. I'm just reporting the news. There was an article today. I love to report the news, and then they said I made a mistake, right? I said, no, the people reporting the news made a mistake if it's wrong. But there was an article today, it was reported, that NFL owners don't want to pick him up because they don't want to get a nasty tweet from Donald Trump. Do you believe that? I just saw that. I said, if I remember that one, I'm going to report it to the people of Kentucky. Because they like it when people actually stand for the American flag, right?
I mean, so one thing, it was the national anthem. But whatever. It was also in Kentucky. I had that wrong. So we all, Donald and I both got something wrong. First of all, it's a really strange thing to, like, brag about. Like, a tweet of yours is keeping someone unemployed. That's sort of strange. But whatever. I understand that, you know, Kaepernick not standing for the anthem is a big deal to, you know, is a big, like, affront to Donald Trump's base that he was talking to there. You heard by the cheering and everything. But the president brought up a quarterback. The quarterback can, any player in the NFL can talk as much as they want about the president. Usually the president doesn't respond to, you know, a celebrity or an athlete talking about them or making a political statement. I don't even think, I mean, Kaepernick said he didn't vote. Kaepernick didn't even, like, vote against Trump. He didn't vote at all. He just was making this protest political statement during the national anthem. But again, whatever. Trump knows his base. But now, it's an even bigger thing that Kaepernick doesn't have a job. And I think Trump might have been referencing what also sparked Richard Sherman's comments. I can't keep that whole timeline totally in check. That's on me. But now there's another level of, well, now Trump has already said there's an angry tweet coming forever signs Colin Kaepernick. And the only point that I was making before that sound is that he, as a quarterback, absolutely has a place in the league. It's unfathomable that you might argue that it doesn't. And again, Geno Smith and Josh McCown just signed in for each New York team, the Giants from Smith and the Jets from McCown. And you know, feel free to call in and tell me about how, like, the Jets aren't looking to bring in a distraction at quarterback or anything. Go at 913-3810. The Jets went out and took Tim Tebow and they unretired Brett Favre. The Jets are historically extremely willing to take on a distraction for even a chance at improving their quarterback position. Historically, every NFL team is. And currently, the Jets' roster of quarterbacks is made up of Christian Hackenberg and Bryce Petty and now Josh McCown. What better situation would there be for a team to take a shot on Colin Kaepernick? Still go draft a guy. Maybe you think, well, you know what? We've seen a ceiling from Kaepernick, but I don't expect to see it again. So we're going to draft a guy also. That's fine. Keep Petty or Hackenberg. Don't sign Josh McCown. Bring in Colin Kaepernick, who can actually win you some football games potentially while you get your young guy ready. Makes all the sense in the world. But Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, was named as Trump's U.S. ambassador to Britain. That's probably not going to happen. You know, the Patriots are a team that's historically been very willing to take a shot on a guy whose talent could benefit them, or even a quarterback who they could trade later. But Robert Kraft and Donald Trump are friends. Like, that's all very interwoven. The fabrics of sports and politics continue to be interwoven even more tightly as we go on. Joe Thomas, the offensive tackle for the Browns, tweeted saying, most people can agree that his current unemployment is a combination of his anthem protest and his declining play. That's the first half of the two. Can we actually all agree on that? Because if we could all agree on that, that'd be awesome. I think that's required for us to have an intelligent conversation about it. Because if you were going to say, it feels so disingenuous to me to say that in the face of all of that logic that he doesn't have a place contending, you know, having a chance to fight for a starting job, whenever Blake Bortles has been an uncontested NFL starter for 3 years. Matt Castle keeps getting contracts. Matt Schaub kept getting contracts. Charlie Whitehurst keeps getting contracts. Matt Flynn. Remember Matt Flynn? He had like four good games with the Packers. He went and got like a $6.5 million signing bonus. I think it was in Seattle first. And then they cut him because they got Russell Wilson. And then again, Matt Flynn got another over $5 million signing bonus to go play in Oakland. And then he got beaten out. He got two signing bonuses over $5 million because he had like four good games. Colin Kaepernick had a stretch of time where he looked like the future of the position. He regressed on a terrible team last year. He regressed, though. You want to hear that is absolutely true. But his ceiling is so much higher than a guy like Josh McCown. So Joe Thomas said, you know, can we agree that it's a combination of both? What's playing more into it? Guys get second and third chances with much less talent all the time. And yeah, and right now the Chiefs quarterback roster is Alex Smith and Tyler Bray. I don't know what Kaepernick would demand on the open market right now. I don't know what that price tag is. It would have to be pretty cheap, I think, for the Chiefs to look into it, because again, I think the most important thing the Chiefs can have next year is financial freedom, where you have ideally a starting second-year quarterback that you draft in this upcoming draft. You have him as your starter and then a cheap backup or two rookies even. And I don't know if Kaepernick's cap number would be able to keep that freedom for the Chiefs next season. But I find this completely fascinating. As these worlds keep colliding, and the president unprovoked is bringing up Colin Kaepernick, and Colin Kaepernick's on Twitter announcing like how this charity is doing at sending food to Somalia, and there's still like this poisonous cloud around Colin Kaepernick. And we've talked ad nauseum about, you know, why it resonated with some people and not with others. And I think you can make the argument of, you know, what else do you want him to do if he genuinely believes that there is a racial inequality in America and he wants to make a stance about it, how else should he do it? You know, he was silent and deferential and all of that. He wasn't, you know, doing anything obscene. On the other hand, you can say, listen, man, don't F with the anthem. I get it. And again, I've written about that and talked about that plenty. But the place now where I'm really confused, and I feel like there's some room for the middle here. I feel like we've been incredibly polarized on Colin Kaepernick since his protest started last year. And I think we finally can meet somewhere in the middle if you're willing to have me and if you're willing to join me here. He's bringing his whole package, his whole brand, his whole history to wherever he goes. But at this point, we can agree. He has room on an NFL roster, talent-wise. And he has been nothing but constructive, at least since the season ended. If you're going to say that the anthem protest was destructive, since the season ended, he's been nothing but constructive. Teaching Know Your Rights classes and helping larger charities do fundraising to send food to Somalia and donating his own money, donating $1 million to local programs. If a guy that you liked already was doing that kind of work, you would buy like four of his jerseys just so you could wear one every day and, you know, have a day off maybe during the week for like formal Fridays at work. I think it's fascinating. Most of you probably don't. Thanks for listening this long, though. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about, I don't know, baseball, or we'll talk about Tony Romo in a little while. Just kidding. I'm kidding. No Tony Romo. This is Sports Sunday.
This is Sports Sunday.
When I talked about the Chiefs and Colin Kaepernick, you guys loved it.
With Joshua Briscoe.
The comment thread had 183 instances of the word no. No freaking way. Won't even read the article. Wasted enough time typing this response.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
810 should be banned from radio. Oh, I really do love this. This show is so good. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here's Drake. Turn it up, Travis. Last segment of the show today. We're with you here from 9 to noon. If you missed anything that you would like to hear, it's going to be on the 810 website, 810WHB.com. Go to podcasts, additional programming, and they'll be up within an hour. First hour was all KU. What exactly happened last night with KU in Oregon and where I landed on that. Then the second hour was more KU with Scott Chasen of the Topeka Capital Journal. If you think I'm dumb, just listen to the second hour. I don't talk as much as I usually do. Scott's way smarter. And it was insightful. And he has not only was it like smart, he knows things also. He's been around the players. So, and if you miss anything this third hour, it's all been Chiefs. Except for the Colin Kaepernick and Donald Trump stuff. Tyreek Hill's the number one receiver. Colin Kaepernick should be on the roster. There you go. You got the whole. That was the third hour. Third hour has been thoroughly recapped. Thank you for listening for whatever percentage of the show you've been listening to. I always have a lovely time on this show, and today felt like an especially good amount of fun all over the place, even though we had to do such a disastrous postmortem. It was a little bit sad, a little bit depressing, but hopefully elevated your mood. Thank you to Scott for joining us. Thank you to Charlie Carlin. Thank you for listening to Sports Sunday. We'll be back next week, as far as I know, and we'll talk about no more KU, probably no more Colin Kaepernick. It's baseball's coming. However much longer I get to have this microphone in front of my face, the show's going to change so much. Just going to talk about the hot dog story from this week. This is Sports Sunday.